This is the passage that Pastor Zapata is going to be expounding for us in just a moment. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This is the word of the Lord, and if you are able, would you stand for its reading? Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
I think you already noticed that English is not my first language. So if there is a word or there is an idea that you cannot understand, I cannot get across, please, I know that you are not used to what I'm going to tell you or to beg you to do. Raise your hand, please. Okay? No, but I mean when I say something, let me start all over again. If there is something that I say that you do not understand, don't hesitate. Raise your hand. And I will try to explain it to you. It is very important to me that you go home different than the way you came. I mean, you should go home transformed. Not by my power. I got no power. I used to be strong when I was 18 till more or less 30. Now I can barely walk. You know the feeling. I used to play racquetball with older guys, or with younger guys that I was at that time. And sometimes I could beat them, not anymore. Now I got to chase the ball. That's all I can do, okay? But it is important to me that you go home with a different mindset, because the Lord has been working in your heart and your mind. So I have come from El Paso. The ride is not too long, 3 hours and a half more or less. If you drive a little bit more careful, perhaps 4 hours. And 4 hours to go home, it is 8 hours, you know. And you have come from your home, maybe driving 20 minutes or 30 minutes altogether. It's a lot of hours, right? If we add all your hours of coming here and going home. And you see, it will be a waste of time if you go home in the very same way that you came here, right? In some sense, it would be better if you just save the energy and stay home. Bad publicity for you. All right. See, every time we come to church, we need to pray to the Lord to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We shall not go home in the same way. Okay? Now, having said so, do not hesitate to raise your hand so I may explain myself a little bit clearer, okay? And we have a lot of time because the pastor told you already that the next service is till 6. So, okay. So we got time, okay? No rush. Now, the next two things are very, very, very important to me. I need to hear from you. Why are we gathered today? Corporate worship. Sorry. Next. Why are we gathered today? To glorify God? Cross. God commanded us. Next. Yes, you can ask me questions. To ask me questions. Yeah, you could, but that's not the reason. I'm going to tell you, but you already know. I'm sure you already know, because I am sure that you have been taught well and right. We are gathered today because we are celebrating something very, very important. What is? Not Martin Luther Day. That was 2 days ago, 3 days ago. In one day like this day, about 2,000 years ago, something happened. What happened? The resurrection. You know? We are gathered today because one day like this, Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the reason we are gathered today. Because God, with mighty power, raised Jesus from the dead. We are gathered today because we do not have a dead Savior. We are gathered today because we do not have a dead hero. We are gathered today. Why? Jesus is alive. May I hear it? Why are we gathered today? Aha! You see? Why are we gathered today? I cannot hear it. Why are we gathered today? Aha! Jesus is alive. Again, Jesus is alive. You see the difference? That's the reason we are gathered today. We could gather any other day, and we should. We should gather more often. Right? Not only once a week. We should go together to the football. Right? Sometimes. Why not? Perhaps sometimes to watch a good movie. Is there such a good thing? No. That's the reason, instead of going to the movie, we watch at home. So they are bad. Wrong. Okay? But did we get the point? We are gathered today because Jesus is alive. And we are sure that he's alive because he appeared to many, many, many people after his resurrection. Right? Now, next thing. I want to consider you that I come from this persuasion, as you are also. What is the Bible? And now, because time is running out, I am going to quit you till you produce the right answer. But let me offer it to you that the Bible is God's self-revelation. So we may know him. And knowing him, we may love him. You get it? Who can repeat it? Aha, very good. The Bible is God's self-revelation, so we may know him, and knowing him, we may love him. You know, many times we approach the Bible, and I am afraid that sometimes I despair when I go to bookstores, I mean Christian bookstores, because all you find almost is God's promises. How to do this, how to do that, how to be a good husband, how to be a good son, how to pray the prayer of Jabez, you say? Jabez, what's here? Okay. And we seldom really think that the reason we have the Bible is because God is disclosing Himself, right? So, what's His purpose? So we may know Him. And if we know God, there is no way we cannot love Him, right? So that's the reason we need to read the Bible, and we need to study the Bible, right? Now, next thing, before we enter into the topic. We are, in some sense, a little bit behind education. And in many cases, we think that if people know, we have succeeded in educating people. So we, especially when I was very young, it was many years back, you know. In the church, we used to repeat verses of scripture while the tithings and offering were collected. So it was kind of a contest. One verse here, quoting the verse and the book and the exact location, you know. And then another verse here, another verse here, another verse here. So all the time, while the tithings and offerings were collected, a verse here, a verse there, a verse here, a verse here, a verse here, a verse here. It was fantastic. No one was reading. It was just repeating by heart. Okay? Because it was a great deal on emphasis, on learning by heart. Right? Problem is, I knew a lot of scriptures, but I was not a Christian. I knew a lot of scriptures, but I was not doing it, right? You see? So sometimes we think that if we can cross the bridge between knowing and doing, we have succeeded. Right? Yeah, that's the goal of education, right? You know, and you do. So you know, you do. Here. Let's go home. Wrong. You know why? The Pharisees, they knew. For example, they knew that they should supposed to tithe, right? And they did. But what about their heart? You see? They knew that they were supposed to pray, and they did. Everybody knew that the Pharisees knew how to pray because they would choose the most concur, you say, street, or the most concur crossway, and they pray a magnificent prayer, right? But what about the heart? You see? So knowing and doing is not enough. We need to be. And that belongs to God. Only God can change my heart to the point in which I not only know and do, but I want to. I am willing to. Do you follow me? So, would you please pray just a very short prayer right there where you are. Father, as we consider your word today, would you allow us not only to understand not only the theory, but also the skills, but not only that, not only the practice, but our being may be changed. So by God's grace, we will go home in a better way that we can, right? Would you please pray silently in your place that you are? That the work that you already started in us, you will finish. You will take to completion. In Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, today we are going to meditate a little bit in the words that the angel called to Mary. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You see, I believe that prayer is universal. I believe that all of us who are here, maybe one or two exceptions, we have felt fear one way or another, one day or another, right? Or is there here a man or a woman who has never ever felt fear? Because we have living in such a way, looking there, looking that, considering this, considering that, that we have come to the belief that fear is natural. And we consider fear as part of creation. We consider that fear is just part of nature. The same way that the sun is part of nature, the moon, the rain, the cold, the hot weather, whatever is coming to our senses, we think it's natural, right? And so, in such a way, I think that we have come to the belief that fear is natural and is part of us. That we were created fearful creatures. And I think that no one of us can remember the first time that we were fearful. Could you? Perhaps I remember the last time. The last time I remember being fearful, it was when I said something that was not very good to my wife's ears. Boy, I got fear. Okay. But you know, we need to understand that fear is not part of created order. We need to understand that fear is not part of nature. We need to understand that God did not create us in a being fearful. So I would like you and I, himself, myself, to examine briefly the origin of fear, the consequence or the consequences of fear, or the result of fear, the cure of fear, or the antidote of fear, and perhaps look a little bit into Mary's response to this situation. Are you with me? What is then, if it's not part of creation, what is the origin of sin? Well, I think that you know your Bible perhaps better than I know it. But would you please turn to Genesis chapter 3? And you remember very well what happened there, right? God has placed our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And he has told them to cultivate, okay? But they supposed not to eat from one tree, right? And then what happened in chapter 3 of Genesis? Do you remember? What happened? The fall. Okay. What else happened? Separation from God. Curse. Okay. But if you see in verse 10, perhaps exactly, fear came. After they had seen, in verse 8, The Bible says more or less like this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid. Why? They were afraid. Why they were afraid? If they used, apparently, to walk with the Lord. It was not the first time that the Lord was coming to enjoy the cool of the day, right? But why in this occasion they hid themselves? Because they have sinned against God. So, I think that sometimes we fell into the trap of the pseudoscience? And we think that fear is coming from the outside, you see? Well, in some sense, yes, because it's from sin. But you see, being sinful creatures, that's the reason we are fearful. We are not fearful because we are created beings. Why do we fear? Because we have sin. That's the only reason we are fearful. Are you with me? Now, we can see that fear produces consequences. And the first consequence, the first result of sin, of fear, was that when they heard that God was coming, they ran away. But you see, they not only ran away, when God asked them, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" The brave man, you know. Maybe he was the first Marine, right? What he said? The woman. So you see, afraid of taking responsibility for what he had done. Instead of saying, "God, I am really sorry. I disobeyed you. I was not a man enough to obey you." What he did? The woman. Afraid of God, afraid of the presence of God, and afraid of taking responsibility. You follow me? And then what happened immediately when God asked the woman? She said, "Oh, I am a brave woman. Yes, I did it." Is what she said? What happened? The serpent. It's the same old story repeated 1,000 times. When they asked me, "Moses, why did you tell your wife that? Oh, she started." Right? When the kids are fighting, and you come, "What's going on?" "Oh, he did it. Not me. Somebody else." For example, why many people cheat when feeling taxed? I'm sure that here is no one, okay? But why many people cheat when feeling taxed? Because the government is not going to use well the resources, right? So, they are not saying, "Well, I'm not a good person. I want to lie." They say, "The government. The government is to blame because I am a cheater, a tax cheater." Are you with me? And when we ask many people, why don't you go to church? Oh, the preacher is so boring. They are not talking about you. Because he's not a boring preacher. I have heard him. Is that true? Why don't you come to church? Oh, that music that you play, boring. You see, we are not ready to admit our responsibility and say, I do not go to church because I am not well before God. Because I am afraid of facing God. Because I am afraid of listening to the word who is going to confront me. You see? I better blame the deacons, the elders, the pastors, everybody else. Everybody else is to blame. And I do not take my responsibility. But you see, one of the results of fear, not the only one, but one that I consider the worst perhaps, is paralysis. Fear causes us not to be able to move. Just consider this. What is more quickly? What moves quicker? A rabbit or a snake? What is faster? A rabbit, right? Now, perhaps you have seen, or you at the movies, Discovery Channel, something like that, or perhaps you have read it. What happens when a rabbit encounters a snake? It's paralyzed. Because fear. What is next? The snake, whoop! End of the rabbit. A good meal, better than McDonald's, right? You see, because fear paralyzes. Fear makes us to be immobile. I am afraid. Oh my goodness, appreciate. Yeah, I am afraid. I am afraid that in some sense the church is paralyzed. Was not Jesus who said, I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell are going to prevail against my church? He said that Jesus who said so. But isn't that true that the church is kind of unmobile? How fast are we advancing against evil? How fast are we growing as a church? You follow me? I am fearful that we are the rabbit in some time. And the world is the snake. And we see the world and we do not know what to do. And we forget that sin is not natural. And we are not able to recognize that fearfulness that gets us shall not be part of us. First of all, when God created man, Bible says that he created man and woman after his very image, right? And I am not ready. I don't think the Bible says in any part that God is afraid of something. So when he created us, he did not create us to be afraid. You see? And when he created us, when he finished creation, he looked at it and he said, this is very good. But who us? When we see a fearful person, we can see, oh, this is very good. This is wonderful. It's good that you are afraid. Well, I think that because we have bought into this idea that fear is part of nature and is part of the natural order, the created order, that we even write books to be thankful because we are fearful. Perhaps you have read one such book. Because it's supposed that fear is going to make you cautious, you know, and it's going to save you from danger. Well, let me tell you, please, to consider this. We are the temple of God. We are the body of Christ. Right? And Jesus said, and we need to be consistent with what Jesus has said. Matthew 28:19-20. What he says? Go and make disciples. And please, I did not come to make a spiritual survey of you. Okay? So do not raise your hand now, please. How many disciples have you made? How many disciples are you making? If you are a man, can you say, this husband is my disciple? He used to be a wreck of a husband, but now, watch a thing, because he's my disciple. If you're a woman, can you say, this woman used to be a pitiful wife, but now, watch her, she's an outstanding woman, because she is my disciple. You follow me? Jesus told us to go and make disciples. He didn't call us just to go and present the four spiritual laws. That's it. We need to go and follow up. And in Acts 1:8, what he said? The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and what is going to happen? You will be my witness. Right? Sometimes we confuse that and we think that we are going to witness. It's alright, we got to witness. But before we witness, something before has to happen. What is? We need to be. You follow me? And that is going to happen only if God changes us. It's not enough to know. It's not enough to do. What is really necessary, I think, in our ranks, in our churches, what is? A change of heart. That we may become what God wants us to be, right? Now, I see that we are coming close to 6, so I got to finish. So, if sin is not part of nature, if sin has bad consequences, what are we going to do? So, we go to the psychiatrist, right? And we tell him or her, you know, I am very afraid of this. I am afraid of this. I am afraid of heights. I am afraid of being in an enclosed place. Okay? I am afraid of speaking with people. I am afraid of the microphone. I am afraid of stepping on the pulpit. I am afraid of everything, you know. And then the psychiatrist explained to us, oh, you got to remember when it was the first time that you were afraid. You need to meditate about it, and then you will be healed, right? Well, perhaps some of us are willing to go to the psychiatrist, but these guys charge a lot, $500 an hour, something like that. So, so many do not have that kind of money. But even if you go to the psychiatrist, you are going to waste your money. Because you see, most psychiatrists, they do not understand that the origin of fear is sin. So if you are afraid, please come to your pastor. Come to your elders. Who are the elders here? Raise your hand, please. See? Come to an elder and tell an elder, I am afraid. I am afraid of my wife. I cannot be the man at home because she wears the pants. Just tell. And perhaps the three or four elders will hang together and cry with you because perhaps they are in the same situation. I do not know. Perhaps you are a woman and you say, I am afraid of submitting to my husband. No laughs now because everybody submits. Right? Well, if you are fearful of submitting to your husband, come to your pastor. Come to your elder. And tell your elder, tell your pastor, you know, elder, I am fearful of submitting to this husband because he's not very wise. Well, I don't want to say that about this kind of abdomen. He makes money, but he doesn't know much about life. If you are fearful, come to the pastor, come to your elder. If you are fearful of applying discipline to your children, come to your pastor, come to your elder. Do you follow me? Don't go to the psychiatrist. Psychology. Come to your pastor. Because the origin of fear. If you are a child and you are fearful of submitting to your parents, come to your pastor, come to your elder. In short, what they are going to do is that they are going to lead you to God. And they are going to lead you to ask for forgiveness. Okay. Now, some people say, if you are fearful, just whistle around. That doesn't work. Some people say, just think in something else. Put your mind in something else. Doesn't work also, because eventually the matter is going to come again. Some people say, well, what you need to do is to train, learn karate. But karate is not going really to solve your problem, because the origin is not that you are weak or that you do not know how to box, you know. Sometimes people say, well, you accumulate money, enough money, okay, and you will cease to be afraid. Well, sorry to say, I know people who are really wealthy and they are afraid still. Some people say, buy a gun, okay, but it's not good also. So then, what is the cure? What would you say? Trusting God? That's a good idea. Prayer? That's a good idea. Let's open our Bibles in 1 John 4:18. I need a brave person to read, please. So I offer you to consider that the antidote, the cure of fear, what is?
Love.
Perfect love casts away fear. You see? But it's not any love. It's not the love of that beautiful woman. It's not the love of that handsome man. It's not the love of those pretty kids that the Lord gave you. It's not the love of your parents. What love?
The love of God.
Where do we find that love of God completely expressed?
In Jesus. On the cross of Calvary.
When you see Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, then you can see the love of God. So I beg you to consider John 3:16. What it says? For God so loved the Lord, the world, that He sent His only begotten Son. You see, that's the reason Jesus came. For us to have an opportunity to communicate again with God after the fall in Eden. You see? You follow me? So if you are afraid, my friend, if you are afraid of your husband or your wife, your children, the government, I don't know, your neighbor, I don't know, your boss, your employees, whatever, what is the remedy? What is the solution?
The love of God.
If you are a Christian, I beg you to consider this. Repent. Remember the love of God. Come again to the cross of Jesus. And your fears will be cut away. If you are not a Christian, and if you are just looking at the watch and say, hey, this Moses, my goodness, I'm going to speak to the elders not to invite him again. I beg you, give yourself an opportunity. Come to God. And tell God, God, I do not understand this. But I want to see that love of you would cast away fear. Now, before we go, have you noticed what happened to Mary, or with Mary? When she hears the angel talking to her, Bible says that she was disturbed, right? And the angel tells her, do not be afraid. Jesus was coming, but Mary didn't know that she was the vessel. Jesus was coming, but Mary didn't know what part she would play. She was disturbed, and the angel says, do not be afraid. And then she says, how this is going to happen? And the angel explains. And what is the answer of Mary then? Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. So I beg you to consider, my dear Christian friend, that sometimes God is going to ask us things that we cannot understand. And sometimes we will never understand. For example, I will never ever understand why God tells me to deal with my wife as if she were a fragile, you say? faith. I don't know if you know my wife. She's strong. She's not an iron vessel. She's a titanium or Kevlar vessel. Okay? You follow me? I want to deal with her how? The way she is. As a Kevlar vessel. As a titanium vessel. As a steel vessel, you know? But what the Bible says? Treat her in a gentle way. Because she is a fragile thing. Husband, are you hearing? I think that if I were a woman, I really would not understand why God is asking me to submit to my husband. After all, we were both created equal at the image of God. Okay? Maybe we should take turns. January, I submit. And February, he submits. Huh? That's an idea. If I were a woman, I think that I wouldn't understand why God is asking me to submit. But what should be the answer? Mary's answer, what is? I am the servant. You follow me? And you know, your fear of submitting to your husband, your fear of dealing with your wife as a free day, because you know, if you give an opportunity, they take command immediately, right? Do not be afraid. Why? The love of God casts away. So, if you are a Christian, please repent. Remember the love of God. Come to the cross. If you are not a Christian and you are listening to me, repent. Give yourself an opportunity. Come to the cross. The love of God will transform you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this visit to Mary, which allow us to think a little bit about fear. Oh Father, work in our hearts in such a way that we might be transformed to the image of your Son Jesus, a man who was not afraid to go to the cross because he loved us in such a way that he was ready to give his life so we may have communion with you again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.